Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by fellow monk Sequoia, who is joining us this afternoon to talk about what I think is quite a fun topic, the monastery cats, and a kind of exciting opportunity we have to offer people around that. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Jen. It's fun to be here. I was thinking I don't think we've ever quite had a topic like this.
I was thinking the same thing as I was looking at introducing it. It's a unique topic, isn't it? Do you want to start us off?
Sure. Yeah, we have these two, I think they're pretty cute cats at the monastery. When I was little and growing up, I lived on a farm and we called them barn cats. I never heard the, I didn't know cats lived in houses, actually. I thought they just lived in barns. And so this is what we have here at the monastery, two female barn cats. And it just seems like it's come to the time that for us to look for another living situation for them. It just seems like maybe the kindest and most compassionate thing to do for them and for us. So we just wanted to tell you a little bit about our two cats here at the monastery.
You know, that is, you just triggered one of my very favorite childhood memories that I don't think I've thought of in 100 years, but I did not live on a farm, but every summer we went to a place that had a farm that we would go visit, and my favorite part was seeing the cats. So that's really fun, because that's exactly what they are. They're around, they're always ready to be fed when it's feeding time, but they really kind of do their own thing.
Yeah, when I was thinking about them, I was thinking they still manifest their wildness, which is kind of really a cool thing, you know? It's something that it needs to be honored and protected, and I love that about them, you know? They're certainly not completely domesticated. I don't think they would know what to do inside a home, but they do respond to our love and care. You know, they're always there for food, and when taken time, they will come over and enjoy being petted. So that just brings us to why we're looking at finding them another situation. And it just, I was thinking today, I don't know how old they are, actually. I know they're more than 5 years old, but they're not ancient. But, you know, they're not even middle-aged. But, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if they would have a kind of a living situation that maybe is a little bit cozier and someone that would be able to spend a little more time with them, petting them and being with them. As monks here at the monastery, we don't spend a lot of time in the hammock or sitting, you know, don't have that much time to sit and be with them and relate to them.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the reasons it came up is just when, for example, we have something we need to attend to, so we're all going to staff the New Year's retreat and take care of that, then there's this question mark about, okay, well, how best are we going to take care of the cats? And it's a funny thing because we didn't get these cats. These cats got us. They found us, truly just appeared one day. And so we've been caring for them in the same way that we care for all sentient beings, really for everything on the monastery property. They're a part of the monastery. But as we looked at it, we began to see, as you say, it's, you know, this isn't the best place for them because we're not set up in that way. If we have to go away or if we have to whatever, we can't really be there for them. They're not our cats in the way that they would be if we were, you know, a household and we were really set up that way. And so that had us thinking, maybe we'll put it out to the Sangha and see. Maybe this could be one of those situations where we could actually find a better situation for them, a better living situation for them. And as you were saying that, you know, how they will come around, I had such a sweet moment a few nights ago with one of them is very Siamese looking. In fact, I think they're sisters, which is very funny because the one, to me, I grew up, part of my family, someone in my family had Siamese cats, and it was, you know, went to the breeder and the whole thing. And it's so funny because this cat, who was a complete stray, and the sister of this other one, who I'll describe in a minute, looks like perfectly Siamese, which is so funny because, you know, usually people people pay a lot of money for that. But anyway, it's this beautiful cat. And I didn't have Sadie with me, who is one of our monastery dogs, and I think that's probably one of the reasons I don't get to spend time with the cats is that they go when they see us coming. But I didn't have Sadie with me, and I was just sitting there quietly, and she just came over. And she, you know, she was skittish and kind of touch and go, but as soon as I started petting her, oh, she just was back and forth, and it was just a fun time to spend with her. And then the other one is black and white and much longer hair and fluffy and as cute as she could be.
Yes, I have beautiful pictures of them. If anybody would love, I could send them photos if you write the information at livingcompassion.org. Yeah, I think they are sisters. That's what I've heard. And they are both spayed. I was just thinking, they don't have names. We call them the cats. So they would, names. They would... they're welcome to have names. And it's also just been a great practice opportunity for us to have them around. You know, sometimes it's a bit like dealing with conditioned mind. You know, they would have us, they would like to train us, you know, and eat whenever they want to eat and, you know, run after them. And so we have the opportunity to train them, and that's been really, really good for our training, and to just look at how it's most kind and compassionate for them to be trained, and it's most kind and compassionate for us to train ourselves.
Yeah, you know, that is such a good point, and I'm glad you brought that piece of it up, because I look at that certainly in my relationship with Sadie, again, our monastery dog, where it's this really amazing middle way of caring for all sentient beings in a way that truly is what's best for all. So Sadie, for example, would eat everything all day long if she could, truly. She just, I don't know, I think it's something the vet said, it's something about Labradors. They just eat whatever. But she truly would just eat. And so, you know, I could say, oh, well, I love her, so I want her to be able to do what she wants to do. But, of course, that's not it. I love her, and so I want to take care of her in the way that best takes care of her. And I love that piece that you just said about what's actually most compassionate for all is for us to train. I mean, we could even just stop there. It's not even, it's train the cats, it's train the dogs, it's train ourselves, it's train attention, but it's really just train. And that caring for an animal is such a tangible way of having that experience, of really needing to look and see what's most compassionate for all. And I think that's actually the process that we're in as the monastery. You know, we could keep feeding them. We could keep having them here. But there's some sense that there's a bigger picture here and there's a greater care that's possible. And I think that caring for an actual tangible, you know, critter, and somehow four-legged critters are such a good example of it because they're so easy to unconditionally love. You know, we're never going to get into a conversation with them. We're never going to, that it just, it's such a great, it feels like such a great practice opportunity of caring for all beings.
Yes. I don't know what to add to that, but it is a great practice opportunity, and and they have, we've learned a lot from, I'll lovingly call them the cats. and now, like you said, it's time to open it up and see what is next for them. Just that feeling of there is something that might be better suited for them and more supportive of them, and yeah.
So it sounds like the way to do that, if you're a candidate listening to the show and you're interested, is to email the Guestmaster. Is that right?
Guestmaster@livingcompassion.org. And like I said, if you'd like a photo, we'd be happy to send that. If you have any further questions or, yeah.
And I know, I can't remember right now what the content of it was, but we had something like this a few years ago. And so that I just want to say, and if you're not listening to the live show, at whatever point that you're listening to this archive, you know, don't assume that they already have a home. So 6 months down the road, if you're listening to the archive and you want to jump at the, oh, gosh, I would love to have those kitties. I wonder if they're still available. Just send us an email. Find out.
I think that's it, Jen.
Okay.
We'll see what life provides.
That brings us to 5 o'clock on the button. So thanks very much, Sequoia. Okay. Good night. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Sequoia. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Justin, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Justin.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here and glad to learn about the cats.
That's funny, isn't it? You know what I was thinking? What I think about as they were talking is, I don't know this for a fact, but I've heard that traditionally Zen temples and monasteries tend to be destinations for cats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because, they tend to be kind people, and also people who have cats they don't want, this is like in the old days, who had cats they didn't want, they knew that the monks or the priests wouldn't kill them.
Yeah.
And so they would, sneak over to the local monastery and drop them off. And you hear
there's
stories about, hundreds of cats living underneath the monastery floor, the Zendo floor and all the kind of stuff like that. So we're following in that tradition, although we only have two.
Wow.
I can confirm they're cute also. They're adorable. I wish we could keep them, but it just doesn't work.
Got it. Well,
yeah.
This is a great way to put the word out.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. It's fun to be backed up by Sangha in this way, to have a whole group of people that we can ask for help with for something like this.
Yes.
Now, if folks could help us with our ants, we have the same problem with ants. We won't kill the ants, and so they come in the summertime, but little joke there. But it's really kind of interesting being a Buddhist in this world and dedicated to not harming, because there's all kinds of things like they were saying, practice opportunities that get created as a result of that.
Yes. It requires continuous paying attention.
It sure does. Looking. And a lot of creative looking at times. Opening the aperture really wide to life to drop things in, especially with those ants.
Yes. Wonderful. I have some announcements here.
All right, super.
This is the last week to register for the year-long retreat. It's a way to stay focused and connected with email classes and at-home workshops. And the deadline to sign up for the whole year at a discounted price is this coming Sunday.
Okay, that's very helpful. And then, of course, people could sign up piecemeal, I understand, too.
That's right.
If they can't make that kind of commitment.
That's right. So after that, people can register separately for each event, each email class, or at-home workshop.
But they get a discount if they sign up now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And everything's online at schedule.livingcompassion.org. And the kickoff workshop that we had, video workshop with Sherry, that took place on Sunday, that will be available online as well.
Oh, good.
So nobody's missed anything.
Great. So people can go check it out if they weren't able to make it live.
Correct.
Nice.
Correct. Yes. And also, registration is open for the first Eightfold Path retreat. That's in North Carolina in April.
All right. Wow. Boy, already.
Another year.
The winter is flying by. Yeah, it's going to be retreat season again before we know it.
Yeah.
All right. Time to sign up.
Yes. And that retreat explores the Buddha's map for ending suffering in this lifetime.
Hmm.
And as I just mentioned, the schedule is online for these and other events. It's all at schedule.livingcompassion.org. Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. Then you'd enter your PIN followed by pound. And as usual, if folks could stay on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, and then we'll be able to hear from lots of folks.
All right.
Okay, let's get started. first caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Elizabeth calling.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, Justin.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
I need help with a core belief. I guess it's conditioning's core belief, but it just seems to me like objective reality because it's so deep. I'm trying to challenge it.
I'm sorry, I lost a few words there. You said you have a core belief, and say that again.
Okay, I have a core belief. It's a really deep belief. It's a conditioned belief, but it feels like objective reality.
Oh, okay. those core beliefs do tend to appear as if they're objective reality, don't they? That's why they're core beliefs.
Yes. So I need help. I need some help, like, challenging this belief.
Okay.
Okay, so the belief is that if you have a career, everything is right in your life. And if you don't have a career, everything's wrong in your life.
Okay.
And the career is like a castle of security.
I see. Okay.
And
what is your relationship with careers currently?
I am not at my career, so I'm tortured by this core belief.
Okay, that's kind of what I figured. Uh-huh. Okay, so what you're saying, just to get current, is so you have this core belief, and if you have a career, you're good. Life is good. If you don't have a career, it's not.
Yeah, if you have a career, like, your life is right, like, existentially, everything's right in your life.
I see. Okay. All right.
And that also, like, the career is a castle of security.
Okay. And you, a castle of security, that's interesting, isn't it? So you recognize that this is a belief.
Sort of.
Sort of, yeah. Well, in your disidentified moments, you can see that it's a belief. You probably, I'm just speculating based on the way you're presenting this, you probably have a sense, too, of how conditioning, well, you said it a minute ago, you're tortured over it, how conditioning uses this belief to cause you to suffer?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a good place to begin, isn't it? Because, you know, a lot of people, and I think we can put all of us in this category, you know, are acting out all the time on core beliefs that they're not aware of. You know, they don't even know it's a core belief. Like you said, it's just objective reality. So that's, you got a leg up on this one.
Well, like, if, for example, if conditioning says, or it seems like objective reality, that a career is a castle of security. But, I mean, that seems true. Like, how can that not be true? I don't know how to contradict that belief.
I see. Okay, well, one way you could do it is you could break that down. Like, okay, so having a career is a castle of security. You know, like, what is that? What does that mean? What is security? Why is security important? What is it going to get for you that you don't have now? You know, if you, I know you're aware of aspects of the personality, you know, who believes this? You know, who is this important to? You know, all of these kind of questions, it's basically applying the processes that we practice in our practice to this belief and just kind of undermining it. With all of these kind of questions, you know, because conditioning is trying to present it as something that's airtight, and you know, we're supposed to just take something like that and say, oh, okay, but never look behind it, you know, never look into it and see, well, what really is being talked about here, you know, what is security, you know, that seems like a really important question. What is that? Why is that important? What is it? Because with those kind of questions and that kind of directing attention, instead of just accepting it, just swallowing it whole, we might say, we can begin to look for ourselves and see, you know, well, what's that true for me? You know, I hear it's true for you, conditioning. What about that is true for me?
Right. I see that. And I guess I just, since it seems like you say, airtight to me that a career is security, I just want to know do you think that's true or not true?
Okay, well, let me go at it another way. What is security? What is that? What would if you had that security, what would you have?
You know, being able to support yourself and, you know, having money for just to survive.
Okay. And if, like, let's say you had that, how would you feel?
Secure.
Okay, but that's part of the belief.
Yeah.
How would you feel?
Safe.
Safe. Okay, that's good. That's kind of another layer down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how do you see ways that you could have that same experience without having a career?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you mean like if you, like, you won the lottery and then you don't really need your career for security or something like that?
Well, okay, let's try another thing. So can you, like, if you had all that, can you kind of imagine for a second that you had just won the lottery, you had all the money in the world, can you imagine how that would feel in your body?
Yeah, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. How would that feel?
It would be kind of jittery.
Kind of jittery. Mm-hmm. Or the safety. Like, how would the safety feel? Like, where do you feel that in your body? If you felt safe, where do you feel that in your body?
Feels like in my lower body and legs and feet, like a grounded feeling.
Like a grounded feeling. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything in your torso?
Not as much.
Not as much. Mostly kind of in your feet. Mm-hmm. Feet and your legs. Feels kind of grounded. Mm-hmm. Like you're kind of, like, your energy's grounded?
Like, I don't know. Just secure, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, do you see how you're having that experience right now as we're talking about it?
Not exactly.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that might be an interesting thing to explore. So this is another, you know, basically I think the project that's in front of you is applying all the tools of practice to kind of breaking down this belief. So here's another one to throw at you. Consider for a second that you're projecting this experience.
Yes.
You kind of see that?
Yeah, projecting it and it's airtight, like you say.
Yeah, well, you're projecting the experience. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, what's airtight is the association conditioning is making between this experience that you're calling, you know, safe, let's say. I think that's better than secure, because I think secure is probably just loaded with a whole bunch of baggage from conditioning. So it's making an association between that feeling, really, and a circumstance that's supposed to produce that feeling, having a career.
Yes.
And that's how it is causing you to suffer, isn't it? Through that association.
If it's not true, then yes, that's how it's causing me to suffer.
Exactly, yeah, if it's not true, yeah. So, and I think you're beginning to question whether or not that's true. You're questioning enough to talk about it, at least.
Trying to question it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what if it wasn't true? What if that's just a made-up connection that conditioning is making purely to torture you with? What if instead what's actually going on is you have an experience of safe that is not dependent on anything that you are projecting into the future and into these future circumstances.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we know that's the case because you can describe it. You can tell me about it. It's in your legs. There's a grounded sort of feeling. If I ask you to go there, you can go right there.
Yeah.
You know, conditioning would never want you to understand that at all because it's the groovy suffering that it's getting out of this can only happen if you continue to not see that the experience you're looking for is right here in the moment. If you can see that the experience that you're looking for is right here in the moment, and that, for example, in order to have that feeling, it's not necessary to have a career, then conditioning is just totally out of business. You have escaped out of that little trap it's got you in.
So you think it's a complete illusion of conditioning?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, anything like this is. It's now, that's not to say, you know, we have to be careful here because we don't want to set up another set of beliefs that's contrary to the current ones. So this is not to say, for example, that, you know, having money is a bad thing or that it's unimportant to be able to provide for yourself or anything like that. It's deeper than that. It's that conditioning is it's making something up. You know, this there is no future. There is no place where this it can happen. It could never happen. You see that? It's impossible just because it's a fantasy that's in the future. You will never be in that future. You will always be here in the present.
Wow.
So
that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool, isn't it? So it's making up something that can never happen. Now, that's not to say it can never happen that you'll have a career. You may be, you know, if that's what you decide to do, and if things work out the way that you want them to, it may very well be that you have a career that you really enjoy or whatever. But that's really different than a career equals a particular experience somewhere in the future where I can never have it.
Okay.
You see?
That's pretty radical.
It's totally radical. Yeah, it's totally radical, especially from the point of view of conditioning.
Yeah.
So let me kind of just summarize a little bit, because to step out of that for a moment and just see is big. But that, so instead of, I mean, I think a lot of people, almost everybody, is falling for some kind of story like this that you're talking about, you know, because that's how, this is just a basic condition strategy. You know, how are you going to cause somebody to suffer? Tell them they really need to have something in order to be happy that they can't actually have. And what's a really nice way to make sure they never have it? They put it off in the future where they have to work towards it and they never actually get there. So, you know, that's the conditioned reality that a lot of people are living in, and conditioning is trying to set up all the time. But instead, get this, because this is, I could think, what we're closing in on here. Instead, everything that we're looking for is right here in this moment. It really is. It's an experience that's here. Even something like safety. You know, to give yourself over to these beliefs, I mean, that's the most unsafe thing you could do in the entire world, you know, because that just pulls you into relationships with conditioning where it can torture you. But to let all that go and come right here and realize, you know, what I'm looking for is exactly right here. That's freedom. That's releasing ourselves from the domination of conditioning that only is there to try to cause us to suffer.
Wow. All I can say. So would you call this classic conditioning suffering then?
It's a typical strategy. Yeah.
Typical strategy.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's doing this all the time, everybody, or trying to anyway. You know, for each of us, it seems like this is the first time it's ever happened because we believe the content, you know, like you
mm-hmm.
believe the career stuff that it's telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like, well, I mean, this only can be about me. This is my situation. Nobody else has ever been in this situation before. But nah, that's not what's going on. You know, it's just conditioning doing what it always does, and it just happens to know what you'll believe so that you won't question it. You won't look at its motivations. You know, you won't look to see for yourself what's true. You'll just kind of swallow it whole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it kind of stays in the background and stays in a place where it can just pull our strings and cause us to suffer like it wants to.
And it seems like I can turn a corner with anything like this when I can say, okay, it's a subpersonality who is believing this, and I can, you know, disidentify, and from center it's not true, and kind of relegate it to a subpersonality and then come up with a reassurance.
Definitely. That's a great thing. Yeah, there's lots of things. That's a great one. You know, applying projection to it, like we were doing earlier, is a good one. Questioning the beliefs, you know, like just looking at the language, like we were talking about. Just anything that's going to take it away from this is something that's true that I believe, to, what's going on here? So, yeah, that's a good one. Well, who believes this? I mean, that's a, if you, even to ask that question is going to cause you to disidentify.
Yeah, and that's great because that could be a great reassurance about, you know, everything we're looking for is here right now, or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. And then just to add another thing to it that's kind of fun, because it's, this is just a, you know, basic condition process, it's, conditioning is very likely doing this exact same thing to you in different ways. Or even if it's not now, it will in the future, just because this is one of the things that it does. Mm-hmm. And as you work through this one, you'll see how this works. And because it's not, this is not about having a career, this is about a general process that conditioning does, you can apply what you learn about this process to other processes that conditioning is doing later or doing simultaneously that are the same. So in other words, you can practice disidentifying through this, and that will help you disidentify in the future because it's going to keep doing it to you in the same way. And so you can keep stepping out of it in the same way. And the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Well, thank you. That's good, because this belief has just been so monolithic, like a mountain. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's good. It is. It's good news for all of us. It's, I mean, thank goodness it's not true, huh? I mean, gosh, I mean, if it was true, that would be horrible.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You're listening to Open Air. Justin, we're going to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Justin.
Hey, Michael, before we go to the next caller,
sure.
Could I mention something quickly?
Sure.
Somebody just pointed out to me, you know, we were talking earlier about the, you know, signing up for the year-long class,
yeah,
you know, the year-long retreat, I guess we're calling it.
Yeah.
And so there's an option to sign up for the year-long retreat, and there's also an option to sign up a la carte. You know, so you can sign up for the things as they come along.
Yes.
And I just wanted to mention that it's the first email class is live. You can sign up for that now.
Yes.
And so you can sign up, you know, if you sign up for the year-long class, then you're automatically signed up. Or you can sign up for it a la carte.
Got it.
So I thought it might be good to, and somebody prompted me on this, might be good to mention that because I think it's coming up pretty soon. I can't remember, but it might even be as soon as February the 1st.
Yes, I think it is. I think it is very soon.
Yeah.
So let me just reflect back to make sure I heard what you said.
Okay.
So this Sunday is the deadline to sign up for the whole year-long retreat at a discounted rate.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the first event in that year-long retreat, the email class, is available now to register for.
It is, yeah. So either way, whether you want to sign up for the whole year or if you want to sign up just for that, you can sign up. And it's time to sign up because it's, you know, it's coming right up.
The time is always now.
It is.
Yes. So a great time to register and avail ourselves of these wonderful opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was
great.
All.
Okay, perfect. So let's talk to our next caller here.
All right, thanks.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Alan from Oklahoma.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, I'm good. How are you?
I've been better, but I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, I really hear you. I really hear you. What's going on?
There's a lot going on. I had a big life changing event here taking place, and it's
okay.
Impacting pretty much every aspect of my life.
Okay.
And just being bombarded with conditioning, and basically I'm experiencing things that I just haven't experienced in 20 years.
In the sense of, you're talking about what's going on in your mind or what's going on
correct.
On the outside?
Yeah, what's going on in my mind.
I see.
The stories I'm being told. And,
So it's really coming after you on this one.
Yeah, it's like I can't even get it under control. I mean, I have to literally get up, probably four times a night to change my clothes because I keep breaking out in, sweats and panic.
Wow, okay.
And,
okay, all right. So it's got you up against the ropes.
Yeah, I am meditating, practicing, twice a day and trying to do the right things. But I'm just having a hard time just identifying and trying to realize that they're stories. So.
Yeah, you do realize that is very likely the case, but sort of like the previous caller, perhaps, it's hard
correct.
To disengage enough and disidentify enough that you can see that they're stories. They seem real?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities there with the last caller for sure.
Oh, okay, good.
It's a financial situation that, there's some real aspects to it. So it's, I'm being told that I'm not going to be able to, change careers or, I'm too old for that now. Or,
I see.
Has
it got you scared?
Absolutely. Just
okay.
Terrifying. So,
okay.
I can feel it throughout my body. I mean, it's like a, weight on my chest and stomach. I mean, it's feelings are there. So.
And so, what do you see so far about how it's creating this experience for you?
Yes, how it's creating.
Yeah, because that's what's happening, right? There's a financial situation going on, which just like the previous quality. I mean, previous caller. I mean, there's certain realities to that.
Correct.
And tell me if I'm right. On top of those, circumstances, conditioning is finding a way to use those, to take advantage of those, to cause a lot of suffering. Right?
Yeah,
so it's not that what's going on in your mind is real. It's just that it's got you scared about the finances and about your career and things, you'll believe the stories. And so that's how
absolutely.
It's going. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm getting a lot of them. I mean, just everything from, like I mentioned earlier, to, I'm not going to have any money when I'm older, or to, just get by, or, put myself in a bad situation, that kind of thing. So just,
uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when that conversation starts happening, are you able to let it go at all? Or does it just sort of take you over and just sweep you away?
It's sometimes I can, stop, drop, and breathe and get it under control and just look at it and say, all right, well, this is, thanks, I already know that, and try to move on. But, but the other ones keep popping up.
Uh-huh.
Immediately. So it's, like I said, I really, I haven't had it like this. It's been a smooth ride for 20 years,
Yeah. Something just keeps coming up. Let me mention it, and I just want to ask you about. Do you mind if I ask you about a part of it?
Absolutely.
Have you ever considered that this could be a really big opportunity for you? What's
yes.
going on financially?
I'm trying to look at this as a new adventure.
Uh-huh. And does it ever seem that way? Like it could be a new adventure?
Sometimes I get you know, if I'm think about what, you know, could be in a positive way, and what I might get into and so forth. And yeah, I can picture that and look at it like that sometimes, but it fades pretty quick. I get, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Well, you're not smart enough, or you're not qualified enough.
Of course. Well, it's going to try to take that away as quickly as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll tell you why I asked that, and this came up to me right when you started talking at the beginning. You know, if we're going along, kind of going with the program conditioning is presenting to us and feeding to us, it really doesn't have to do a whole lot. Like, you know, there's these last 20 years you're talking about where you've been, am I right, you've just been kind of cruising.
Yeah, it's been, you know, things have been, you know, pretty, you know, for the most part, an easy time with things, you know.
Yeah, and comfortable, relatively comfortable.
Yeah, everything was very clear. And
yeah. So now I don't know, you know, what your experience of that is, so we won't talk about you. But often, you know, in a state like that, weak, it's, you know, we're comfortable and, you know, we're not really threatening conditioning any.
Yeah.
You know, because we're, you know, we're kind of staying within the parameters that it allows us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, and so when that's going on, condition doesn't really have to do very much. It just, you know, hits us with a little self-hate every once in a while or, you know, and just to, you know, keep us in line, and that's pretty much it. But when people start describing this level of energy from conditioning, you know, where it's you know, got you in a state where, you know, you have to get up in the middle of the night because it's causing you to sweat from fear and all these kind of things, and it's really coming after you. You know, something I've noticed is often that's because there is a really big possibility there that conditioning is trying to keep a person from finding.
Well, I think there's some accuracy there. I mean, it's been, you know, in a lot of ways very enlightening what's going on.
I bet.
You know, I just have so much compassion for everybody and everything.
Okay, you know, we're
I ever have, you know, it's
Do you ever have the feeling like it's offering you a way to kind of break out from the person that you've been and maybe experience yourself in a different way?
I think it has. I mean, I think it's made me more open. I opened my heart quite a bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and can you know?
I've always been, you know, kind of a closed, person, unable to communicate in a lot of ways. And, definitely.
So might we say that? See what you think of this. That life, you know, kind of the way we talk about life around here with a capital L. You know, so life, in its goodness and mercy, has given you this opportunity to break out of the place that you've been, and has given you a way to open your heart more and probably experience lots of stuff you haven't even imagined yet. You know, stuff that is not has not been available in that smaller kind of comfortable life that you've had. And conditioning can sense that, and it's going bananas. Because, you know, what we're talking about is, you know, what that opportunity is an opportunity to break off your relationship with conditioning and join in with and participate with life in a new way. We don't know what that is. Could be a bigger way, could be a deeper way. Already it's been a heart-opening way. It's been an insightful way.
Yes, I see that.
Yeah. So for me, it just, you know, when I get to places like that, it's just helpful to know that's what's going on. You know, conditioning has pulled out the big guns. Not because it's true that there's something wrong with you or you're not qualified or there's something to be scared about. You know, that's what it's trying to get you to believe. But none of that is real. None of that's true at all. What's true, we might say, based at least on this conversation, is there's this opportunity there that it's freaked out about. And it's trying to get you to not take that opportunity. You know, to choose to stay with it, to somehow survive this without expanding without opening your heart, you know, without deepening your sense of yourself and your relationship with life, it's trying to do everything it can to keep that from happening. What comes up for you when I say that?
It's kind of a calming feeling.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
When I'm processing that, in the background, I mean, I feel like these other voices trying to push in about, you know, that's great, but you know, you're not going to have a place to live, or you're not going
uh-huh.
to.
Yeah, and if you go there, we know where that goes, right?
Yeah, I mean, so it's, I'm getting hit with these future events.
Yeah, exactly. Just like we were talking about previously, they don't exist.
Yeah,
they're just fantasies that are never going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I bet you that. Do you have a sense that, I mean, if you just kind of plug away and do what you need to, do what you can see to do to kind of take care of what's going on, that, you know, that you'll find a way through?
Do I have a sense of that?
Yeah. Without the conditioning, you know, without the stories.
There's got to be a solution. I mean,
there's got to be. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there simply has to be, but, it's like right now I'm seeing it. Sometimes it's, you know, just you get so cloudy that you can't see it sometimes. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's what conditioning is trying to do. If it can keep you paying attention to it, then you're not available to what actually is there. You know, because life is probably throwing little hints at you all the time about, hey, try this, or what about this, or why don't you look into this, or you know, these kind of things. But if conditioning can keep your attention focused on it and the stories that it's telling, then it can keep you from accessing those things. So probably what's going to happen is more of the same. You know, more, I mean, the voices are, they're not going to give up.
Yeah.
But I bet you anything, this is my experience anyway, with these kind of hard places you're talking about. It's not going to give up. It needs you to give up. But if you don't give up either, you know, like you say, you're doing your practice a couple times a day. You're obviously really paying attention. You know, you're questioning these things. You're calling into the radio show. You know, if you keep on plugging away with your practice in the midst of this, I bet you anything, what you'll find is it can only last for so long.
Okay.
At some point, it's going to have to give because you've got life on your side. And suddenly, you know, you'll find the way. You'll see how all of this makes sense.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
See this, to look back on this and laugh or what have you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, and look and see how much you've grown.
Yeah, exactly.
How much it's given to you to go through this.
No, I think, I mean, it's, yeah, I've already grown, I think, quite a bit.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. It's, it's, you know, just the other things I'm hearing, too, I mean, it's just about, do you want to spend time maybe getting a different type of education to go forward? Is that possible? I mean, I guess the other thing, too, is there's an awful lot of paths, you know? That's become, at first, I think it was a good thing, and then it's become, another source of a beating, you know. If you choose that one, it's going to happen. If you choose that one, it's going to happen. Or you're going to waste money here.
So that really is job one, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah.
Get conditioning out of the conversation.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't want you to succeed at all. It only wants you to be miserable and to fail. So I know it's challenging because it's so believable, but I bet less so. You know, as you really kind of go along and you consider what we've talked about and you really focus on the opportunity that's here for you, it could be that that becomes less so and you find a way to kind of nudge it out and to be able to, you might kind of say, be in conversation with life instead about all this.
I mean, there's no question that I have a lot to be, you know, grateful for.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing that more and more, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, kids. Well, keep participating.
I agree with what you said with, you know, regarding that, you know, it's more, it's going to be an opportunity. So.
Yeah, it definitely is. It already has been.
Absolutely.
If nothing else, it's an opportunity to become a freer person in relationship to conditioning. I mean, you can use this whole situation against it because it's laying all its cards on the table right now. And if you just stick it out and pay attention to what it's doing and see how it does what it does, you know, you come out the big winner no matter what happens on the outside.
Okay.
So thank you very much. And keep participating, yeah? You know, call back in. Keep doing
absolutely.
Stuff.
I'm probably going to just to get the support here going forward.
Great. Yeah, check out the schedule because support, that's the number one thing, you know, getting support because you know, if you leave yourself all alone with conditioning, it's going to be rough. But, you know, if you align yourself with all the, we got lots and lots of great things that are coming out this this next year, things to participate in, even from Oklahoma, then, you know, then that can really, really be helpful.
Okay, well, yeah, I appreciate, you know, grateful for, you know, our conversation here tonight and everything that the that you guys do there, so.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks a lot for calling in tonight.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Alan. You're listening to Open Air. It takes all of us, Justin, doesn't it?
God, it sure does, doesn't it?
Sure
does. That's well said.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. I feel supported. I totally feel supported, and I'm really grateful.
Yeah, me too. You know, to have a network, like when something tough is going on, like we were just talking about, or not tough necessarily, it's, you know, like we were saying, it's an opportunity, but we need the support to remember it's an opportunity and to kind of plow through those difficult times when conditioning is really after us.
Yes, yes, indeed. We're going to break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Justin.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Justin. Hi, Michael. This is Carol from Quebec.
Hi.
I'm sorry, could you say again who this is?
Yeah, my name's Carol.
Oh, hi, Carol. From Quebec.
Hi. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly do resonate with the two calls that have been on, and I guess it's sort of in line with what's been said. I've been doing a 30-day retreat. I'm on day 9 of the retreat to stop a habit that conditioning has me going for.
All right, very good. Good project.
Yep. Yay. And I'm also working with an awareness coach, and
nice.
Which has been really, really helpful. It's,
mm-hmm.
It's made a big difference this past year.
It's a great program, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful. It really does. It helps to focus, really focus practice.
Uh-huh.
And, keep me on the straight path.
Keep you on the straight and narrow.
On the straight and narrow. And specifically what happened this weekend is the keeping the commitment for the 3-day retreat hasn't really been a problem. So conditioning hasn't been active directly,
okay.
But it certainly has been active indirectly.
Mm, that's interesting.
And, yeah. So what I've been seeing is I've been getting hooked in certain places that are very laden with emotion. You know, with feeling feeling sad, having different situations come up, and it culminated with the workshop on Sunday,
okay.
in which I spent the 3 hours of the workshop feeling very separate from what was going on,
huh.
which is, you know, in a way, which is very surprising, because this was a workshop that was bringing forth all these things that we could be doing together in
uh-huh.
here.
kind of interesting
and here I was
thing.
feeling just so so separate from that. So, and this is a place that I know that I've, you know, that I've experienced this, that kind of real separateness and exclusion.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Not one that I experience regularly, but anyway, you know, certainly intense. And so my coach suggested that a way to answer conditioning or to handle conditioning in that situation is to say, well, when this happens, I will call into the radio show.
That's so good. Good coaching maneuver.
Yeah.
There.
uh-huh. So yeah.
And so you're calling, it sounds like, might we say, to challenge that experience you had? To challenge the conditioning that is kind of in the background causing it, that experience of separation.
Yeah, I think so. It's to give me... I'm starting to work with this suggestion from my coach, so I'm not sure exactly what all I'm going to see, but
mm-hmm.
I think you're right, it's challenging. And it's like taking away its sting, you know, it's like
uh-huh.
well, if you do this, I'm gonna go on the air and talk about it.
uh-huh.
And so it's like, and it was really scrambling today. I had set up all my reminders at work, okay, checking in, and I would leave work early and was fine until, you know, the end of the day at work, and then I ended up leaving late. And so anyway, it was a challenge to get to the call.
I bet.
But, yeah.
But you did. Yeah. I love that. That's one of my very favorite things. It's the old, okay, conditioning, you start that conversation again, I'm going to have to meditate some more.
Yeah, it's that's true. It has a whole lot of potential to.
Yeah, it does. What I love about it is, I mean, it puts you in the power position, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Because
yeah.
it wants to be in the power position, obviously. You know, as we've been talking about all evening, it wants to be calling the shots and pulling the strings and deciding what kind of experiences people are going to have. But you kind of just turned the tables on it, and so now it's the one scrambling because you're the one who's making the decisions here, not it.
Yeah, it's very it is empowering, and I feel the experience I'm having right now is quite different from the one before, and
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I can see that this is a very interesting place to be, and it's another thing with that is seeing the. How the way it comes in indirectly and
mm-hmm.
sort of so what had happened the day before actually the workshop I had had a situation with my boyfriend where there was somewhat of a disagreement but nothing really nothing really big
mm-hmm.
but it was kind of still floating
kind
there
still there in your mind a little
still there in my mind and so then the workshop comes in, and conditioning is exploiting that situation
yeah.
with that part that's feeling already a little separate in that from that previous interaction,
uh-huh.
and then
it's
and
almost
then
like it knew it was happening. You know,
right.
it's like oh, here comes that workshop. Let's find something that we can use to
yeah.
soften her up a little bit before it starts.
Huh? Not sure what you mean.
Oh, well, that I don't know if this is true. I see this all the time in terms of my experience. It's almost like conditioning kind of knows my schedule.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, here comes something that's very likely to, like the video workshop, for example, that's very likely to, cause me to feel good, to feel connected,
uh-huh.
to, feel good about myself, to get excited about the year. I'm probably going to have lots of good insights about ways I can support myself in my practice. You know, I can imagine condition kind of sitting back there in the control room saying, boy, this is no good. You know, we need to, this thing's coming up. We need a strategy here. Well, that's, okay, well, we can get in a little argument about this, and then,
yeah.
Oh, that'll be a nice conversation, and we can soften her up, and she'll be off-center when she goes there, and then we can just talk to her all the way through it, and she'll miss it.
Yeah, dredging something up that it can use in that against the possibility of feeling good.
Definitely, yep.
Yeah.
It's expert at that.
Yeah. Huh. That's really good. I bet it won't get me as easily next time.
I bet it won't. Yeah, you're going to have a heads up. Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much. I'm going to let somebody else get on the call.
Okay, good.
And,
well, thank you very much for calling. I'm so glad that you did because
yeah.
It's just such a good example of what we can do. You know, we're not helpless. You know, when the voice is starting, we're not helpless.
Yeah.
You know, we can absolutely take charge of our lives. And with little changes to behavior, like tonight, just completely turn the tables on conditioning. It's just fabulous.
It is. It is. And I'm really very grateful. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you
Thanks,
very
Michael.
Much. Take care. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. You're listening to Open Air. And we have time for another caller, Justin.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jill in Brooklyn.
Hey, Jill.
Hey, Justin. Hey, Michael.
Hi.
What's going on tonight?
Well, I had wrote myself a note to call in tonight, and I was going to talk about one thing, but then something else came up in the course of the call. So,
okay.
Basically, I've been having these headaches, and I've had them for many, many years, and I noticed lately that they seem to be more frequent. So I got an iPhone app that is called iHeadache, and it tracks your headaches, so I could just sort of keep track of when I have them and how long they are and all this other stuff. So I started keeping track of them, and I was like, wow, I have a lot of headaches. Like, I just, you know, just seeing them all in a month, and it just seemed like, you know, something that used to come up, you know, now and then, like a chronic condition seems to now have reached a state that's like, okay, well, it seems like that there should be some more attention paid to, you know, how to, help this person suffer less, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've dealt with these for a long time, so there's a lot of things I know about them, but there is always seems to be some resistance. Well, the process that I'm seeing is that, you know, is that I'm in a conditioned process when I treat these headaches, that whoever is in charge of treating them, you know, is willing to do some things, but certainly not willing to do other things. And I mean, it's
that's just very interesting.
With
what kind of motivation? Where's that unwillingness come from?
Well, it's, you know, the things that trigger my headaches are things like sitting on the couch. you know, sitting in front of the computer, what else? Sometimes if I'm not conscious of how I sleep, if I sleep on my stomach,
I see. Body position.
I get a headache.
Huh.
So a lot about body position. So, a lot of the story is about, I'll have a headache, and what actually helps me the most is moving around, is going for a walk, is doing, you know, is like moving. And it's, So the person who's in charge of the headache, you know, they want to lay down. It's like,
I see.
They have a headache. And so, but my experience is that is the worst thing to do for it. So,
wow,
you know,
okay.
Oftentimes I can move around and there's somebody, you know, the adult is in charge and will do that. But for some reason lately, like, that hasn't really been happening. Maybe it's the weather or what, but it's like there's a lot more towards treating the headache in a way that just seems to be wishful thinking, I guess.
Uh-huh. Does it feel like kind of a descent into the child?
Yeah, well, it feels like a process now. Like, what's so great about calling into the radio show is that, you know, I start considering, you know, in the breaks and whatever, how, what, what this process is. And so I started making some notes and started really looking at this in a way that I hadn't before. And what I'm really seeing is this conversation, this process where, you know, I get really excited, the plan to counter the headaches and, you know, all these things I'm going to do, and I make a list, and then I start to do it. But it's actually quite difficult because it's so, you know, it's, you know, everyone sits on the couch, you know, like, you know, riding in a car makes it worse. So there's all these, there's this person that starts to feel really limited in what she can do. And she starts to feel outside of society. And like, you know, that I have because the thing about a headache is that I can pretend I don't have one. It's not obvious to other people.
Right.
So not that I can pretend, but I can just sort of ignore it in the same way. No one can see it.
Which is ignoring her, isn't it?
Which is ignoring her, this person who has it. And
we need to help her, huh?
I feel like, you know, I just got this great, sort of like, wow, this is like a thing that seems to be, I would like to help her. I would definitely like to help her.
I like talking about it in terms of a her. You know, there's lots of ways we could talk about it, but I like that because, you know, like if this was happening to someone, I'm kind of imagining this as a little person, but I don't know if that's true. Mm-hmm. That's actually your experience. Is it? Does it feel like a young person?
Well, it definitely feels, it definitely is my experience from childhood that I've had things that I've not felt like could be taken care of or that I could speak up about or could be addressed. So it does feel like this process is that same one, definitely.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, so it helps, isn't it, to see it in that way and to see that it's a her, especially a young her, because, you know, if this was happening to, like, you know, a child you knew, you know, or like a niece or a little girl in your life, you know, I bet you would do anything to try to help help her. Be okay with that.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so it kind of helps. It kind of helps add the motivation because, I mean, it's understandable to want to sit on the couch. You know, it's really understandable to want to be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and have the same kind of things that everybody else has and stuff. And you know, who knows why life throws these things in our way? But you know, you because with the body you have. There's special requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, one way we could speculate about why life has thrown this in your way is this thing really does ask you to be a compassionate grown-up, doesn't it? And take care of that little one. And, boy, talk about that is such a good motivation and a powerful motivation, too, if we can disidentify from the little one enough and become the big one in order to make that happen.
Yeah, and that's great to hear. So great because what I'm seeing now that part of the condition story is that, you know, sometimes that the grown up has to do things that, you know, are still gonna, you know, that aren't that helpful for the headache, but that's too bad because that's sort of what a grown up has to do. Like, you know, I have to do these things, but now I'm beginning to see like, do I? You know, like how much, that's the condition story I think I'm slipping into, which is that adults, I'm an adult and, you know, I live in this adult world and I have to ride in a car. I have to, you know, sit at a computer. I have to.
And that adult is not a grown up, is it?
I'm sorry?
That adult is not a grown up.
No. That sounds very much like ego.
It's another little kid trying to pretending to be a grown up.
Right.
I love the direction you're going because I bet you there's all kinds of things you could do. Because I mean, perhaps your work or whatever requires you to be in front of the computer, but maybe there's ways, you know, that compassionate adult might find ways you could do that really would take care of the body. Like for example, I was having some back pain a while back from sitting in a chair on a computer, and then somebody told me about how you can raise up your desk and stand and work. Standing workstation. Wow, that's interesting. And I tried it, and it completely took care of the problem. And besides, it was fun. I can move around. I do little stretches while things are downloading. You know, I can do little dances because I'm by myself. You know, I can get away with these things. it's great. And it feels like I'm having a workout with my body all the time because I'm standing up. And, you know, it's just the best thing. And that never would have happened if I was stuck in some kind of story about, oh, my back hurts, and you know, that's just the way it is, and I'm a victim of that, and I'm stuck with it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's great. That is great. And because what I'm seeing in that, too, is that I have had, you know, oh, so I've been, this is chronic, and so I've been dealing with for years, but the willingness, I guess I'm seeing, like, I get started on the track that you're absolutely describing, like, yes, that's a great idea. Like, you know, there's been a lot of ideas that have dropped in as to how to support this being in this, you know, situation. But yeah, there's something that comes in, and it's like, we can't do it that, we can't go that far with it. You know,
yeah,
we know what that is,
don't we?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the timer goes off and it's like, nope, sorry, I'm in the middle of something that I can't stop for this right now. And so it becomes like this thing that's, so I guess what I'm seeing is that, we know what that is. Bingo.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then, you know, if we really look at it too, and here's another little, you know, thing to provide some motivation, you know, that conditioning is using that little girl.
To
stay in charge. You know, it's punishing her, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for anything she's done. It's not her fault, you know, at all. She's just stuck in this situation, and it is intentionally keeping her stuck there and using the situation to torture her over. And won't even let her take care of herself. I mean, you know, even, you know, since it's physical pain, you know, it's keeping her in pain. So that it can stay in charge. You know, that's how wicked it is.
Yeah. That's what really made me want to wake up from this, is that I was like, wow, this is, you know, it's gotten to this, you know, this amount, and that there doesn't seem to, their karmic pull to do it and to just not address it in a way that is helpful.
And then, like we were, you know, we've been talking about with other people tonight. You know, there's a big opportunity in this. You know, there really is.
To
take the next step up for you and your life and your practice, and to use this as an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I know. It occurred, you know, I was going to get a folder or maybe even a whole recorder that's just devoted to this and just start there with just talking about it with the mentor and getting some reassurances. And, you know, I can play them while I'm at the my computer, just remind myself, like, hello, you know, this is what's happening, and this is what we can do about it. And I got really motivated just during the call to really start on this. So thank you.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah, life becomes exciting, doesn't it, from that place?
It does. It does. When I was I started writing the process down and process mapping it, and you know, little list of insights and, like, you know, and what fun things I can do, you know, I can, because Tai Chi would probably help, like, there are these things now that sort of peek out, and, you know, some sort of slow movement or dance class would be fun, like something that,
really fun.
You know, yeah, that I can start feeding elements into that rather than feel like I just have to take something away from her, you know.
For sure, yeah, I mean, boy, that's so crazy, yeah, take that little girl to a dance class.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that would be fun for everybody.
All right, great.
All right, well, I see time is up, but it was nice talking to you. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Take care, Jill.
Okay, take care. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. You've been listening to Open Air. Justin, what I'm getting out of the show is taking care of the human being and just going all out for that.
Yeah, that's good, huh? The way to have a happy life.
It's great. Thanks for the inspiration and your time and your willingness tonight. It's been a great pleasure and privilege to have you with us.
Same back to you, Michael.
Okay. Thank you, Justin.
Take care. Yeah, have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.